Welcome to the Front Row Back Row podcast presented by PhysioGrowth. We're your hosts, Brian, who scaled a PT practice from the trunk of his car to six locations, and Owen, who helped lead an eight-figure exit and now runs a cash-based PT practice. This show is real conversations from owners actively building with what's working right now. All right, and we are back with the Front Row Back Row podcast. I feel like I just came back from a commercial, but there should be an intro in front of this. So there you go. real top-notch shop here. The thing we want to talk about today is new grads, right? And a lot of new grads are spending time, you know, working as hard as they can to try and get as many skills as they can do. But of course, like all of us who've been new graduates in a clinical setting, you don't know what you don't know, right? And we are a business podcast, right? We really very much encourage people to be in business. We think it's a really great way to help the profession grow and get stronger and help more people in the community. But I mean, we're also kind of old, kind of, right? 15 years experience. We both graduated the same class. And one of the things that we notice over time is, you know, a lot of new grads really have varying experiences. Some, man, they've gone to great business owners, they've gone to great teams, and they know exactly how to handle challenging, hard situations. You know, but I think the majority, the thing that I really want to talk about today, Brian, because I know you've talked to a lot of people online about this, is like, where do we feel that the new grads kind of, how do we get them to get more into real life PT, right? Like, how do we get them that learning curve to increase? Because I think there's so many different paths. Like, there's no kind of, how do we get everybody on the same path?
You know, I think a lot of this, you know, and I'll read this from this post that I put up that kind of made me think about this and the reason for doing this podcast. And we got a lot of engagement, and I think we'll get a lot of listeners who are interested in this topic as well. Was actually what drove me to first post something like this on LinkedIn was the fact that I was going back and forth with somebody on Instagram who's a disenfranchised PT who was talking about the whole advocacy for us being professionals, not professionals. And honestly, he was being a total dick about it. He was like, I don't believe you guys are professionals. Like, this is nonsense, blah, blah, blah. And he's a physical therapist who went back to law school. And quite frankly, I think there's a lot of people, unfortunately, who are PTs who just got disenfranchised by whether it was money or worked in bad situations or blah, blah, blah. In this case, he worked for two employers that kind of fucked him over based off what he's talked about. And again, irregardless of whether that happened, like, I'm sorry for him that happened. He also talks about how, like, his parents died, and then, like, people came after him and said, it's good that your parents died. Like, again, I'm not trying to say that those things aren't horrible, and I'm sorry to hear that happened to him. But this is what actually motivated my post is there's a lot of people that get disenfranchised with physical therapy. And the problem is then they preach it, and then I think it just makes this whole process worse and builds a bigger cycle. So the reality of this is the post that I put up. So the new grad reality check is that new grad physical therapists are walking into a profession with the highest student loan balances in history and the highest salary expectations the profession has ever seen. And yet most are wildly underprepared for what a real career in physical therapy actually demands. Not because they're lazy, not because they lack passion, but because our system trains them to pass exams, not build a career. No one teaches them how to manage a caseload without drowning, how to communicate like a leader, how to keep an athlete for a full continuum, rehab, performance, longevity, how to integrate technology and AI into operations, how to attract patients instead of waiting for referrals, how to think like a clinician and a professional with a future. Here's the uncomfortable truth. The degree gets you in the door. Let me repeat that. The degree gets you into the door. Your skills, real skills, keep you in the room. Your mindset decides how far you go. If you're a new grad reading this, the world isn't against you, but the world also isn't going to slow down so you can catch up. You need mentors who've built something. You need reps in the real world. You need to learn the parts of PT school nobody puts on a syllabus. This is exactly why we invest in companies like what we're doing, you know, mentorship with PhysioGrowth, but also specifically in evolution physical therapy in our practice, and why we're so passionate about it. And the future of PT is going to belong to clinicians who take ownership early, build skills fast, and refuse to let the degrees be the peak of their education. And so that to me is the essence of what's going on with a guy like this guy who's disenfranchised, is they're not understanding this. It's like, just because you've got high student loans, like, you got high student loans out of law school, you got high student loans out of accounting school, out of all these other places. So the reality is if you're looking to raise your salary. I think I was talking about this actually with a guy who's a CEO from Procter and Gamble in the past, a client of mine, and it was great thought process. He goes, after 20 years of working at P&G, he goes, I got tired of sitting in these fucking meetings where someone talked about diversity and compliance and blah blah. And he goes, I get it. How many times? Like, that's not what I'm here for. That's not what I need to do again. Blah blah. And I said to him, I go, the difference with new grads now and young people is the actual tolerance. Imagine that. Imagine saying to a new grad, Owen, hey, you got to wait 20 years and you got to sit in these meetings and blah, blah, blah. They'd be like, what are you talking about? Right? Their tolerance is done after a year. And so the reality is, I think the tolerance for this stuff has gone down. And that to me is the biggest problem that's happened in new grads. And
Well, and
how do we fix that?
like you said in your post, we graduated only 15 years ago, like not even halfway through our careers yet, right? Knock on wood. And like we have a third of our grad school costs a third of what USC's cost right now.
It's
Right.
craziness.
So like they have a good reason why they want stuff to happen fast,
For sure.
right? And I think that the hardest part is that I think everybody comes out and they want to be a badass PT, right? They want to be the guy or gal who can treat the soccer player or who can solve that issue for his friend's grandma or whatever it is. They want to be like, "Man, I developed this talent that adds value to people's lives in whatever realm," right? And then I think the hard part is they also, and sometimes they talk about that, sometimes they don't, they also want to have a middle class to upper middle class salary to be and live comfortably so that they can then effectively be value adders in their job, right? And the difference between lawyers, CPAs, all that stuff is that their pricing changes with inflation, right? If you are a corporate lawyer, and your deals went from $20 million deals and you get 2% to $40 million deals 10 years later and you get 2%. Well, guess what? You just paced with inflation, right? Well, reimbursement doesn't do that, right? Insurance companies are not allowing to do that. So this is why I think you get a lot of people who, like the guy you were talking about, who was like, I don't want to do the whole like entrepreneurship thing. Screw this. This profession sucks. I'm going to go. And he probably was an entrepreneur. That's fine. Not many people are. So where's the next best place you can go? Law school. You'll work for somebody and you'll have a job. You'll never have to be an entrepreneur, but you will make a lot of money by being the smart kid in class, right? So like that's where I can see the frustration. But at the same time, you and I are able to say we know people who started out with all that stuff with high student loans, right? We had high student loans relative to the time, right? And you can get there. Right. But you have to, there is patience. No one went to PT school to drive a Ferrari. Right. And I'm pretty sure most PT schools say that to people. Right. They're like, look, you're not going to be making 400,000 a year doing this. I think the frustration really comes down to like how bad it feels initially, especially if you're in a bad clinic, especially if you see somebody who's done it for 30 years driving a Maserati and telling you to see more patients because they want to hire multiple. Like, that's tough to deal with. So
Yeah,
I
I mean,
think.
we just talked about this on the last podcast as well, right? That like a lot comes down to the business. There's a lot of bad physical therapy practices out there. There's a lot of really good ones, right? And I think that we and that's I think the last podcast will come up
You
before
guys
this
do
one.
one-on-one,
Yeah,
right? Like with
100%.
insurance. Like you are very much on the low side, right? I'm talking about the ones where it's like 25 patients out in Arizona. It's more with you guys, but out in Arizona, we average 90, right? So if one license is getting me $90 25 times in a day, I mean, that one person is bringing my clinic like $2,200 a day, right? Now they're working what, 250 days a year, right? Like, they're giving a lot of money, right? And the problem is the market for physical therapists is, $80,000, $90,000, whatever it is for a new graduate. If I'm making a crap ton of money, but I only have to spend this much because that person can't get anything anywhere else, I'm only going to spend maybe $5,000 more. I'm not going to relate it to what my revenue is, right? So I can see why people are like, well, why is that guy? Right. But what I'm trying to say is there are good clinics out there. It's just, unfortunately, it's rarer and rarer.
Well, what's happening that I think's happening too is even in our model, we're seeing people who are leaving that are going to the cash-based world and think that that's going to be greener pastures or, trying something different. And I think the reality of what that's going on is, listen, we live in an area where it's a expensive area and people are able to, are basically able to gain more traction here a little bit faster. And it rewards a little bit more mediocrity than it should, right? That's not going to work in other places. And so I think
You mean gain
the
more traction? Like I start a cash pay PT place and there's enough people around me that have the expendable income to do it.
bingo, exactly.
Not based on how good I am at physical
Exactly.
therapy. Got it.
1,000%. And that's what I think is going on in a lot of places. And I think what happens is that's risky because, the economy takes a downturn and all of a sudden now people are going to be tighter and now you got a real problem. So
I
again, I
agree.
think
I think that if you're good in a high cost of living, right, and you can really turn over results faster because you have more time with people than you otherwise would have, you're going to be fine, right? But if you're not getting people better faster, right, now when times are good, people are not going to put up with that.
1,000%. And the reality is, you got to also be able to accumulate new people, right? You got to be able to bring on new patients or new clients. And so that matters over time. I think, in general, going back to what we're talking about, new grads and physical therapists, I think the reality of it is it's why I think mentorship is so important. Like, our generation of PTs and the generation above us have to give back to the younger
100%.
physical therapists as well. So the reality is, the profession being young, old, whatever, there's a reality of that there's a lot of people that are being disenfranchised, and the reality is you have to get to those people first. So, like, coming in, having people work with us, we have a guy who just started work with us, who's from Ithaca, on where we went, and
Heyo.
love this kid. We already started talking to him, and like he's a sponge, and you can see just instantly just the way he's coming in. And it's one of those things where when I see more and more people who are doing physical therapy with us, or whether they're outside, they're so impressionable. And so the reality is, if people aren't prepared for the reality of needing to learn more outside of what's going on and how to do it, and don't get enough direction into how they do it. And honestly, also think that there's probably some things you got to work outside of the box, meaning that 40-hour work schedule, you got to go learn how to do other things, right? Me and you are not going to stop working less right now just because we're doing this podcast, right? We started learning how to do it and then just tacked it on to our days. So that's the
I
reality of
work
the
more now than I did when I was working in corporate PT.
people don't
I love
realize
it.
that.
I'm way happier.
Exactly. So it's more about finding the jobs and things you like to do. And then you're excited about it, right? And so that's
Well,
the
so,
aspect of it. I'm a
and
big
this is
believer in, like, for me, I'm a big believer in this entrepreneurship concept. How can we create this hybrid model where people can win within our business and create more, for us, whether it's consulting with other sports teams or other things like that, whether it's doing personal training or whatever. To me, that's massive.
Well, and this is the cool thing about the profession, probably what drew me to it, is that you can go in so many different directions. You can go to the Chicago Ballet, or you could go to like with the Cajun Navy helping people in the dockyards in like, Louisiana, right? Like there's so many in workers' comp and that, right? So there's so many options for people to do. But if they're beaten down by like a mill practice, they're just going to say, well, screw this. I'm doing something else. I'm young
For
enough. I
sure.
can get out, right? And I like it's hard because you don't want to turn somebody away to say, yes, the market conditions aren't ideal, right? And if you're a new grad where you're only 3 years into learning this stuff, if that, right, then yeah, I can definitely see why somebody would pivot. But I will say it is very nice to have autonomy because there are a lot of PAs and NPs that are very unhappy. That, oh, all of a sudden there's three major health systems, and the only option is three employers, and they all drive the prices all the way down or make me see X amount to get my raise, that type of thing. Whereas we could just say, screw you, I'm starting a business, right? Like there's only a few professionals in healthcare that can do that, right? So, yeah, it's tough, but it's kind of sad to see. Like, I don't want to pull the ladder up because I was one of them, right? I was one of those student loans, everything sucks. What am I doing? High volume clinic, right? And you can get there, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's opportunities in multiple different ways. And if I'm evaluating my career, evaluating kind of your career steps as well, I think one of the things that I've learned is getting into smaller clinics that then you can build with them is always good, right? Like that's the way to do it. Once what so to me, like that's something that I've recognized over time that's had a gigantic impact in lots of different positions and ways. So I like to me, I think there's so many different ways that can be done, and businesses can really thrive and grow. And that to me is the most exciting
Dude,
aspect of that.
I found myself a business owner who was very good at marketing to the point that she made five or six clinics. And she had the bones of like a good, she had an HR department, she had some marketers, like there was something to work with there, right? But we like took it to the moon because she let me kind of do my thing when it comes to managing people and hiring and building teams. And she's like, "What's culture?" I'm like, "It's kind of important." She's like, "Can you just like go off and do that?" I'm like, yeah. So then we started doing leadership training and all this other stuff, right? And that allowed me then on my resume to be able to say, I did these seven things. And by the way, I'm 32, right? And then you have conversations with people who put you in contact with people and all this. And for me, it led me to there's no way out but to do my own thing, right? Because I'm too headstrong and I wanted to make all the decisions. But for someone else who doesn't want to do that the entrepreneurship way, like they can say, look, I'm going to find someone like you or someone like there's a competitor down the road here. I think it's Spooner that they bought. They were bought, but before they were really pushing into athletics, right? And they would have people come to them just specifically because of sports, because they bought one of the like boutique, all the NFL players went to it off-season places. And then all of a sudden that became the thing that you could go to, right? And then all of a sudden you work for them, you work with NFL players. And then that built out their reputation. And then that owner was like facilitating that and hosting, they host like a sports, PT summit here, and they always get like people to come in. So like even within that, I'm sure the owner was probably just like, yeah, dude, do whatever you want, right? That was probably a manager, a regional director, and three clinicians who were like, dude, we got to do this. Right. And then that's going to build their career otherwise. So there's ways
For
to do
sure.
it.
For sure. For sure, man. No, and I think, again, like just to kind of bring us home, this is what we do in physio growth, right? Is help people walk through that process and how to have those conversations and how to build those programs, within businesses, outside of businesses, whatever you want to do. So, how to streamline everything, automate AI, you name it. That's what we do. So,
Well, because as much as you maybe, if you're listening to this and you're not a business owner, you may be saying, yo, that's me. I totally feel that. That would be great. I bet a good portion of these people listening to this are business owners and saying, how the hell do I keep my people from leaving?
for
Well,
sure.
we just had a retention podcast. Psych.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right?
No, it's so
So.
true.
All right, so the website is physio-growth.com. It'll take you to our school group. $100 per month. You get 8 visits per month. See, I'm keeping the month correct so I don't
That's
screw
good.
it up. You
Nice.
get 8 Q&A sessions per month. I think I said visits. And yeah, it's a deal. We have our own businesses. We just want to help people. So check us out.